The Pulitzer Prize Committee is reviewing an award given to the New York Times more than 70 years ago. In 1932, the Times' Moscow bureau chief, Walter Duranty, was awarded journalism's most prestigious award for his reporting on the Soviet economy. But in the intervening 70 years, Duranty has been exposed as an apologist for the Stalin regime for deliberately ignoring the man-made famine in the Ukraine that killed millions. Last month, the Pulitzer Committee said it was reviewing a decision to revoke the prize it gave to Duranty. If you'd like to join the conversation on this subject, our phone number is 800-989-8255. And with us here in Studio 3A is Tom Rosensteel, Director of the Project for Excellence in Journalism. And good to have you on the program, as always, Tom.
Thanks, Neil.
And also with us is William Taubman, a political science professor at Amherst College in Massachusetts, the author of several books on the Soviet Union, including Khrushchev, The Man and His Era, and Stalin's American Policy. He joins us from member station WFCR in Amherst, and good to have you as well.
Glad to be with you.
Tom Rosensteel, give us some background on Walter Duranty. What kind of a man was he, and how did he get to be the New York Times Moscow bureau chief?
Well, he was well-connected, charming, a raconteur, almost the sort of the image of the dashing foreign correspondent that we have of the 1920s and 1930s, somebody sort of larger than life, kind of an ambassador, and a controversial figure as well. He was a friend of Stalin's, not just a reporter.
And he was British.
Yes, he was British and worked for the New York Times and, a figure on the diplomatic circuit, social circuit.
And at least allegedly a man with a vivid social life.
Yes, as he's described now, someone who romanced both men and women.
And enjoyed many substances.
The truth being perhaps not always one of them.
William Taubman, tell us a little bit about the story that this is closely connected to, and that was Stalin's campaign basically to eliminate an entire class of Ukrainians, millions of people.
Well, the effort was to collectivize agriculture, and the target was not just Ukrainians. It was well-off peasants called kulaks. And that's, in a way, a little deceiving, because what they regarded as well-off peasants, we would regard as very poor people, many of them. But nonetheless, they were attacked, they were expropriated, they were driven from their homes. Many of them were put on cattle cars and sent to Siberia. Many of them died in the process, and many more died in the famine that resulted from this attack on agriculture, both in Russia and Ukraine.
And William Rosensteel, the story that William Duranty won his Pulitzer Prize for was reporting on the Soviet economy. How could he report on the Soviet economy without reporting on the collectivization of the farms in the Ukraine? I mean, this is an enormous part of it.
Yes, although he won his Pulitzer Prize in 1932 for work that was done in 1931, interviews with Stalin. The genocide in the Ukraine, as I understand it, began in 1932 and went through 1933. So the controversy over this is that in subsequent reporting, Duranty said that in reporting that occurred after he won the Pulitzer Prize, he interviews Stalin and reports authoritatively that there was no genocide in the Ukraine. A month after that story appears, he tells someone in the British embassy in Moscow that he knows that 10 million Ukrainians have died. And so we have evidence from the record, from Duranty's own lips, that he lied in print about this genocide. The Pulitzer Prize occurred earlier than this for other reporting, and what the Pulitzer Prize Committee is going to examine is whether or not they have firm evidence that he had similarly lied in that award-winning reporting.
I would say that although the focus for this Pulitzer reexamination may be his coverage of Ukrainian famine, partly because I gather Ukrainians have raised the issue, Duranty had a terrible record reporting on almost everything during those days. He got wrong the nature of Stalin's position in his fight for power. He depicted Stalin as a budding Democrat or a conservative. Later, when he was no longer reporting for the New York Times directly, but had left their employ, he got wrong the whole issue of the purges. He thought that the people who, like Bukharin and the others who were tortured into admitting their guilt, were actually guilty. So if we lift our eyes from the Pulitzer dispute itself, the man was really a disaster.
We're speaking with William Taubman and Tom Rosensteel about a controversy involving a reporter for the New York Times 70 years ago in Moscow. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And William Taubman, let me ask you a little bit about the relationship with Joseph Stalin. I've read some about him. My recollection doesn't involve a lot of his ability to woo the Western media.
Well, he wasn't the biggest wooer, but nonetheless they got wooed. A lot of people who were in his presence came away impressed, not by his pyrotechnics because he was rather quiet, but by he had a kind of charisma which he radiated force and determination. So Durante was not the only one to be fooled, but Durante had more power than most to spread the foolishness that through his reporting in the New York Times.
Yet, from what you and Tom Rosensteel are saying, it wasn't that he was fooled. It seemed like he knew what was going on and deliberately overlooked it.
I'm not sure that's true of everything that he got wrong. I think, as Mr. Rosensteel said, it's very important that there is testimony that Durante said to, I think it was a British newspaper man or a British diplomat, that 5 or 10 million had died in the famine and did not report that. So there he does, that seems to be a smoking gun. In other cases, he may have known and distorted it, or he may have convinced himself and reported wrongly, therefore, or he may have deliberately reported wrongly in order to keep his access to the Kremlin. It's complicated.
Mm-hmm. Tom Rosensteel, that issue of access to the Kremlin, that's a big one, isn't it?
Yeah, and we've seen that is not an isolated case. There is evidence that the executives at CNN struggled with those questions in their coverage of Saddam Hussein in Iraq. And when we go back and in terms of the Pulitzer Prize Committee, they need evidence to make a decision about a particular prize. The historians need to sort of figure out, was Durante deluded, or was he doing this for access, or was he doing this because he was a committed communist and was using his journalism as a way of accomplishing that? And all of that is important.
Even speculation that he may be being blackmailed for that vivid lifestyle we were talking about before.
Right. Motive, as all journalists or historians know, is a difficult thing to establish. What I think is interesting here is that the Pulitzer Prize Committee has taken this up in part because of a Ukrainian group that wants to raise awareness of the genocide 70 years ago, and this is the 70th anniversary of it. And they're using the Jason Blair scandal and the credibility problems in journalism as in effect, a news hook. And I think there's nothing wrong with that. That's completely appropriate. Journalism benefits from this sort of soul-searching periodically. It's also not a surprise, as Bill Taubman says. It's not a surprise that Durante is a liar. We've known that for a long time. So the subject of whether his Pulitzer Prize is withdrawn, which would be the first time that's ever occurred, is interesting because of the soul-searching that it causes in journalism. It doesn't really fundamentally tell us something new about Walter Durante. He is a scandal-tainted name in journalism already.
Mm-hmm. I noticed, I did a little homework before coming in and in reading about him, and I noticed that one of the things that he apparently did was rely on a secretary of his in the Washington Bureau, in the Moscow Bureau, to do a lot of the reporting, which he claimed to have done on the spot. So there's another parallel with the Jason Blair controversy.
And before we get letters, yes, Janet Cook of the Washington Post did get a Pulitzer Prize for her work, but she returned it. It was not withdrawn.
Well, it was the Washington Post that returned it.
Well, that raises another interesting question. There is a Pulitzer Prize hanging on the wall of the New York Times for the reporting that Mr. Durante did, but I understand that there's a caveat underneath it.
Yes, there's a sort of wall of honor at the New York Times, and all the Pulitzers are there, and underneath Walter Durante's name is this special line: other writers in the Times and elsewhere have discredited this coverage.
that's backing off just a little bit.
Yeah, a little qualification.
Any idea, Tom, when the committee's going to issue its decision on this?
No, I don't. Having done Pulitzer judging myself, I can tell you that this is sort of a volunteer organization in the sense that it's not a large staff. I would assume there was a similar reexamination of Durante's work in 1990, and the decision was made not to withdraw that. I assume, like any good journalistic effort, they're going to need proof that Durante actually knew that his coverage was a falsehood in 1931. And what you're in effect doing is part of what you do in a libel trial. You have to not only prove that this information is false, but that the reporter knowingly knew it was false when he published it. That may be a difficult thing to for the Pulitzer group to establish.
You know, this may not be what they're going to look at, but even if they were to decide he didn't know, there's another question, which is, could he have known? And from what I know about that period in Moscow, it was fairly common knowledge among anybody who had any knowledge of the countryside or any connection with the countryside, what was going on. So I would say that even if he didn't know, he should have known, could have known.
William Taubman of Amherst College and Tom Rosensteel of the Project for Excellence in Journalism, thanks to you both. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.